If one were to walk into a church and look at some of the statues or maybe the stained glass windows or some of the paintings and wonder, well, which saint is that? There are certain clues as you look at that. I mean, if you were to walk in there and you would see a scallop shell, well, that's always a symbol that the saint is St. James. If you were to see a cross in the shape of an X, that would be St. Andrew, because that's how he was crucified. If you see a man holding a couple of keys, obviously you would say, it's Peter, because he was given the keys to the kingdom. And if you would see a saint with a two-edged sword, that would be Paul. And part of that is probably due to the fact that in the old days we used to think that the letter to the Hebrews was written by Paul. Today the scripture scholars would say, we're not too sure about that. But in that particular letter, it says the word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it cuts both ways. And what the author was basically saying is that the words of scripture do a couple of things. And I think it's sort of best expressed by the fact that, you know, the word of God does two things. It makes the uncomfortable comfortable and makes the comfortable uncomfortable. It cuts both ways. You know, we like it when it comforts us. You know, come to me, all who you who are tired and burdened, and I will give you rest. And all of the other great things that Jesus says. If you believe in me, you will live forever. But the other part that makes us uncomfortable is as much part of the word of God as the other part. And we hear that today because it's a challenge. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he just told the crowd about, you know, the king giving a great banquet. And the people having all sorts of excuses as to why, you know, I couldn't come. Well, I recently got married. I got a couple of new sets of ox, and I have to take them out and see how they work in the field. All sorts of excuses. And so it's within that context when you look at, well, they had all sorts of excuses that he says, well, if you're going to be my disciples, he's basically saying, there aren't a lot of excuses, provided that you do one thing. Provided that you sit down and assess the cost of discipleship. And the cost is pretty extreme. You know, if you don't hate your father and mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, even your very self, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not turn your back on all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. And as we sit down and we assess those demands, we realize that they're pretty extreme. But part of the problem in our life as Christians is that many people never get to that point because we're baptized as children. And so we're Catholics, or generically, I mean, we're Christians. And that's the way we sort of live our lives. But at some point, we have to sit there and we have to assess, okay, what are the costs? And he says, well, you know, you don't want to go out and try to build anything without sort of thinking, do I have enough money to build this? Or if you're a king, you know, I've got 10,000 army, you know, you got 20,000. 2-to-1 ratio, you know, I'm better off suing for peace here. And so at some point that all of us need to do in our lives as Christians, we need to look at what is this cost of discipleship? Because Jesus calls us all to be his disciples. But what's it going to cost me? And the price is pretty extreme. But some people might look at this gospel, whoa, gee, Jesus, this guy, he's talking about love, love, love. And all of a sudden he's talking about hate, hate, hate. But when you go back and you look at the Greek, that word hate is a little bit nuanced. It really means basically to turn your back on. Because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to simply do two things. Love God above all things, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so it's out of that love of God that comes first that we love our father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. That we're not going to spend our life being prisoners of things, our possessions. And so there is a price that we have to pay. But as I said, so often we don't sit down and make that assessment. And then when something happens all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I can't pay that price. I'm going to quit. I can't do that anymore. But we need to know that up front. And that's one of the great things about Jesus. There was no small print in his demand for discipleship. It was right there. It's smack dab in your face. He says, this is what it's going to cost you. Can you pay it? Can you pay it? But then we might ask ourselves, reasonably so, well, if I can afford the cost, what's in it for me? And there we get down to that little subtle thing that Jesus talks about in the first part of what's it going to cost. Unless you hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, your very self. Again, it's not so much the Greek word hate, but you cannot become your own God. And I think so often in our world today, individuals are making themselves into gods. Not with a capital G, but, well, everything revolves around me. The primary question many people ask in any situation is, what's in it for me? And as I've said before, a lot of times, nothing. But there's a lot of good in it for other people. And Jesus would say, okay, now you're getting to the point of being my disciple. Because look at that cross. What's in it for Jesus? Nothing. A lot of pain. A lot of sorrow. There's nothing in it for him. And yet he did it for us. And that's the sign of a good disciple. Not what's in it for me, but what good can it do for others? What good can it do for others? Because when we see the whole world simply revolving around ourselves, what's in it for me? We're going to be in a terrible situation. Because everything is going to be egocentric. It's all about me. And it's not. It's not all about me. It's all about us doing what? Doing the will of God. But again, as I said before, we make that clever little substitution in there. And we say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. And we change the TH to M. My will be done. Because obviously the world is all about me. And Jesus would say, no. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. And so we have that situation in today where we look at the Word of God that can make the comfortable very uncomfortable. We come here today and maybe we're feeling comfortable. And you hear the challenge of this gospel, and it is a challenge. And all of a sudden you start to look at, ooh, what kind of a disciple am I? Am I a disciple when things are going good? Am I simply a disciple when things are going my way? That's the easy part. Being a disciple is when things aren't going your way. Being a true disciple of Jesus Christ is following God's will, even if it's not my will. And so, if we're feeling uncomfortable today, that's okay. That's okay. Because that's what the Word of God is about. There is no fine print in this call to discipleship. It's right there in your face. Turn your back, carry your cross, deny your possessions. The choice is yours.